Let us turn our Bibles to the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Word of God, through the words of Apostle Paul, teaches us the cure for our worries. The cure for the cares that we have. Now, the worry that we have is often the fruit of much thinking. We think a lot, isn't it? God has given us a very interesting faculty. Our mind is able to not only think for what is happening around us, it is also able to think ahead. Forethought is a good thing. But if we use our ability to plan ahead and think ahead to bring worry into our heart, it's a bad thing. I always think that foresight is a good thing. Being cautious and careful about our life is a good thing. Nonetheless, if such a good ability that God has given is used to push God out of the future and to take it for ourselves and place it under our own ability, we will do much harm to ourselves. Worst of all, we will dishonor our God. The ability to think ahead is not given that we may push God aside and take hold of the future for ourselves and plan it out according to our own ability and wisdom. If we see things ahead, whether it's trouble or danger or good times, we should submit it to God's care. We should never handle it on our own. Whether it's things about the past, or present or future, we must think of those things according to God's wisdom, plan, and truth. Otherwise, we will fall into what the scripture calls here worry. Now, the first part of our verse says, be careful for nothing. Now, the word careful in modern English is a good term that tells people you better be cautious of things that you are going to face. It's a good word for the young people. Parents normally say to them, be careful, child, be careful. Young man, be careful. But this word was used by the King James translators to refer to another truth. Which was normally depicted by this word careful, which means full of care, full of anxiety. So when we read here, be careful for nothing, it's saying that don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6 that one of the creatures that God created that never worries is the bird. And I'm very envious of birds. Sometimes I wish I'm a bird, in the sense that, you know, every morning wake up when the sun is out and go about, pick up whatever the Lord gives, heat, and be happy, praise God with some nice music, and go to sleep. But we all will quickly say, no, we are not just birds, you know. God has given us a mind to think. So we go to think until we become worse than the birds. Isn't it sad? Firstly, let me talk a little bit about the care of life, the worries of life. Because we are told, be careful for nothing. In other words, we should not worry about anything at all. Be careful for nothing. Nothing should be allowed to worry us. So it's important we think about worry. Firstly, let me make this statement with regard to worry, that worry is everywhere and everything worries us. And worry is of every kind. Now, those who are businessmen and have been making plenty of profit see the profit shrinking and start to worry. They're still okay in the sense that they still make profit. But the size of profit has shrinked, and that worries them, right? Now, there is another group of people who are told that they will be retrenched very soon. They're not retrenched yet, but they have been informed the company is thinking about it. You start worrying. You still have a job, you still have savings. Even if you will not have a job for 2 years, you can still go on with your savings. You will not become breadless. Now, they also worry. Now, there's another group of people who worry because they do not have bread for tomorrow. They have bread for now, but there's no bread for tomorrow. They also worry. So, you see, worry is of different kinds. Everybody worries. The rich man worries. The poor man worries. The boss worries. The employee worries. Everybody worries. Anything and everything can worry us. And yet the Bible says, what? Be careful for nothing. That's a divine imperative. It's a divine command to God's people. Jesus said it is for Gentiles to think of tomorrow. For God's children, they should remember that worry is not for them. I think we all need to start rebuking ourselves now. How, oh my soul, how can you be so full of worry? Stop it! Stop it! Can you say that to yourself in response to what the Lord said? Be careful for nothing. If your cares are manifold, if they come out of real situation of trouble and pain and sorrow, then let it be known to you that your prayers must also be manifold. It is not for you and me to just sit at one corner and worry and worry and worry. It is for us to take our worries to the presence of God. If a mother rises up in the morning and worries about the child's PSLE result, I think she won't be able to cook her breakfast. But if she goes to the kitchen and keep praying, Lord, bless my child, even if it's not so good result, Lord, continue to bless him, guide him, she will not only fix the breakfast, she will face it better. You may have a difficult business, You may have a difficult relationship with someone. You may have problem in your studies. You may have difficulty with regard to paying the staff in your company or even in your church. And that refers to me. We have about 25 people to support in Gethsemane BP Church, Mission Fields, Bible Witness Team, and all together. It worries me. I was just looking at our church account and I said, Lord, please have mercy. Well, I don't want to talk about it. That's behind. I give it to God already. But it is a worry. So the Bible says, okay, that's a worry. Don't keep worrying about it. So when worry increases, immediately we need to bring it to prayer. In fact, I will talk about it very soon. Prayer is the substitute for worry. Before that, let me dwell on the worry a little bit more. Not to make worry any worse, but to tell you it's not a good thing to have in our heart. Sometimes you would think that worry is a necessity. Here is a young person who says, Pastor Koshi, I don't know what to do. I'm in perplexity. I don't know whether to turn to the right or to the left, or whether go forward or stand where I am or take a few steps backward. I really don't know. My head is spinning. Oh, you think I cannot worry about this? There's a farmer who prepared his ground. He saw the seed. And he saw them growing. And he expected a wonderful harvest. But suddenly clouds gathered. Rain started to pour. He thought next day will be a sunny day. But it was not. Another day of rain. Clouds seemed to get darker. Rain seemed to get worse. And his crops started to fail. He walks up and down his field with an umbrella. His worry gets so bad, his umbrella gets blown away in the wind. He still walks around worrying, worrying, worrying. The whole day he worried, he was not able to bring one ray of sun through the cloud. It was still raining. What can I say as a pastor to such a farmer? Or you may be a businessman who is facing a similar situation in your life. You may be a student who doesn't know what to do now because you failed in your exam. Or you have not scored as much as you wanted. Dear friends, we cannot come to a situation where we think our life will be destroyed by these troubles around us. We must believe that our God is still alive. I may not have an harvest. I may not have my profits. I may not have what I have planned for. But my God reigns supreme, and I am His child. Now listen, worry expels God from your minds. That's why we shouldn't worry. Worry will fill your mind with everything but God. It will make your mind think about your business about God. It will make your mind think about your profit about God. It will make you think about your family about God. It will make you think about yourself about God. And you see, worry make everything God but God be God. That's why we cannot allow worry to fill our mind. You understand? Do not worry. Somebody is saying, Pastor Koshi, you can preach it for half an hour and go home. I still worry. Then listen again. You are not to worry because you are a child of God. Let me tell you, if you keep on worrying, if you say, preacher, after this you go home, you don't know my trouble, this cannot be taken out of my heart. I sit, I remember this. I walk, I remember this. I lie down, I remember this. I sleep, I have nightmares. It's not easy. Yes, it's not easy. But look, dear child of God, worry replaces God and try to take God's power and authority and His own work, which He alone can do, as though you were. You know, this is like my little son comes to me this day and say, Dad, what do we have for breakfast? For tomorrow? Tomorrow's breakfast? Have you planned anything? I'm quite worried about tomorrow's breakfast. I said, son, why do you worry about it? You know, I never ask you to fix breakfast for tomorrow. I never ask you to go and buy the things that are needful for tomorrow's breakfast. He comes back and say, Daddy, we just have lunch, but I'm still worried about tomorrow's breakfast. I think this boy is out of his mind. Why can't he go and study? He's supposed to study. Why does he worry about breakfast? And he says, of course, I need breakfast tomorrow. You know, all of us who worry about our needs for tomorrow is trying to grab God's own glory of caring for His children and make it their own. It is like telling God, you have not been caring enough. Let me care a little bit more about myself. Lord, you don't understand my needs. I know better than you, you know. You can't just sit up there. I'm the one who suffer here. Come on! We have an heavenly Father. Jesus said, you who are evil know how to do good things, how to give good things to your children. How much more our Father in heaven? Worry is not for us. And so the Bible tells us, be careful for what? Nothing. Nothing. This preacher may not understand the complexity of your business. I may not understand how difficult your subjects are in your school. I may not understand the depth of your problems in your relationship. But see, we have a God. Our God in heaven is the one who cares for you. He is your Father. So if you keep worrying, you expel God from your mind. So, child of God, tell me, who do you want in your mind, God or worry? Who do you want to exalt in your mind? Cares of this life or the glory of God? Decide for yourself. Don't hesitate. Don't postpone. Make that decision now as you listen to me from the Word of God. Now I say, my God must be exalted in my mind. Not my power to think, not my intelligence to foresee trouble, but my God, my God. Dear sisters, are your husbands whispering every night, I can't sleep, I can't eat, I don't know what will it be like? Whisper into your husband's ears, do not worry. Our God will care for us. He cares. Does Jesus care? Oh yes, He cares. The substitute for care or worry, the cure itself is prayer. Please look into your text. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing but in everything. So he says, be careful for nothing. That means you shouldn't even worry about anything. Now, in all those things that worry you, he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. A while ago I said, when God is out of our mind, we start worrying. But when God is in our mind, we start praying. We make known everything to God. Prayer is an intelligent communication with God. It's an intelligent conversation with God who knows everything about us. You know, if my son keep coming back to me and say, Daddy, how about tomorrow's breakfast? What will I do? Son, Daddy will undertake. Daddy has been caring for you all these years, and I will continue to take care of you. Don't worry. I have brought enough food. I've given it to your mom, and mom will cook it for you tomorrow morning. Don't worry. Comes back and says, Daddy, I'm still worried. Okay, come. Let me show you the storehouse. Let me open this meal safe. Look at this. This is for tomorrow morning. I'm still worried, Daddy. Maybe I will give him a good cane and say, shut up now. You know, sometimes we talk too much. The Lord may apply His hand of chastisement. And that's why sometimes we put trouble upon trouble. Because you have not learned to exalt your God. Let me tell you, if you don't learn to fill your mind with God and His goodness in your trouble, you will take yourself in the wrong way and plunge in the consequence of your abandonment of God. So trouble upon trouble will come. You understand? That become a very painful chastisement from God. It's not wise at all to lean upon your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. It is absolute stupidity to think that we can order the affairs of our life. No, we cannot. So if you do not want any more added pain, then magnify your God with simple trust in the Lord. That's the most beautiful thing you can have in the midst of your struggle. The sweetest thing, you know, if you trust God and be still in the midst of trouble, your heart will experience that which you have never ever imagined. How many times my Lord has proven that to me. Only if I will have a long sermon time to preach, then I can tell you all my experiences. But I'm sure you know already. The Lord has already shown much mercy to you in your life. Just think back and see how much you have been troubled in your heart when certain things happened, but how God has seen you through all of it. So keep on trusting Him and start praying. Look at that. He says, pray with prayer and supplication in everything. In other words, when we substitute our worry with prayer, we can pray for everything. Prayer deals with everything. Take note of that. In everything, let your request be made known unto God. You may pray about the smallest thing and about the greatest thing at the same time. I had to pray for my church needs and also for my second son's PSLE exam results. We just came. Now I'm praying for a good school for him to go. I have not fixed my mind yet. Sometimes thinking about schools also make it spin. You know, Lord, should I send him to a far school or nearby? Is it worth sending him further from home? it better to have in the neighborhood school? Will that school be good? So many things to be concerned about. I already sent my first one to the secondary school. It's the second time, but still, you know, there's a concern. Then I'm worried, who will be his friends? Oh Lord, all that I want is he'll be a good Christian man and he will serve God at the end. Never mind about what school, but please help him not to be in the wrong company. But I thank God I keep praying so it doesn't affect me, because if I worry about it day and night, I can't take care of the church. I can't be here this morning. And I have to preach again. There are so many things to do. Prayer is such a relief. In everything I can pray. And I can mix all these things and pray together. God hears and He understands. He knows that. I can pray for the need of the filling of the Holy Spirit. At the same time, I can pray, Lord, give me a good shoe so I can travel and preach. You understand what I'm trying to say? There is nothing that I cannot ask. There is nothing I cannot ask. He says to us, in everything by prayer and supplication. That is a great relief, my dear brethren. It's a great relief that God is concerned about every aspect of our life. Even one hair will not drop on ground without His knowledge. That's how much He cares for us. I'm sure you do not know how many hair you have lost last night. I'm sure you do not know. But God knows. And He knows. And look, prayer is an intelligent communication. I mentioned that a while ago, but I must emphasize that. It's not chanting. I feel very sad when I see people who take the rosary and then, you know, just repeat the word all the time. Some people sit in front of the TV, watch the soccer match, still they are praying with the rosary. I mean, I don't know what they are doing. Prayer is not just chanting away some repetitive words. It is communicating everything that troubles your heart. You tell the Lord, Lord, this is my problem. What do you want me to do? I have no more money. I can't look at my wife's face. Can't look at my hungry children. Many years ago I said this. When I went home as a new preacher in the church, salary was so small. My wife said, no more milk powder for your son. I look into my wallet, I had $2, not enough to buy a tin of milk powder. I looked through the window, I saw the birds, you know, these little miners picking up worms. And I said to the Lord, Lord, you said look at the birds. Now I see them picking up worms for the children. I can't pick up the worms and put in my small baby's mouth. Now I'm not joking, this is exactly what I told the Lord, because nothing else comes to my mind. I said, I was not despising Him, but I was telling Him I regard Him as my God. If I don't tell Him my burden, who will tell Him? I can't tell the neighbor, say, you know, I'm a pastor in Gethsemane BP Church, I got no money, can you please help me? It's so embarrassing. I will not dishonor my God by telling my needs to 10 people around me and borrowing money. I would rather plead with Him. And He sent help immediately, miraculously. The Lord, look after me. I don't know what your troubles are. I can only guess things are getting worse in the life of many people today. Or maybe things are not going to be bad, but because things are bad around you, you are just worried. Now talk to God. Find strength. You know, if you worry so much, you cannot be a blessing today. Because you become too protective. Oh, I better don't give to the mission work. What happens if I lose job? I better don't help my brother who is in trouble. What happens if I lose job? I better don't cook for that person, because anyway, they all understand this is a time of financial crisis. No, you tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be a blessing. Now, I'm not going to worry about tomorrow, though it is in my heart. I'm going to do what the Lord has called me to do. I'm still going to give my tithe. I'm still going to give sacrificially because you have provided me thus far. You know, God never asks you to borrow money and give to God's work. God only asks you to give what you have or what God has given. But if you keep worrying, you can't give that which God has given to you. You rule God out of your life. That's why we must intelligently communicate with God. Lord, these are the things that worries me. Worry makes me rather an unprofitable servant of thine. I cannot be that way. Make me profitable, God. Let this worry be gone and free me. That's how the poor widow who came to the temple gave everything she had. That's why her name was confessed by our Lord Jesus. Because she did not let worry come. She went to the Lord's house, she prayed, she gave everything, and she prayed again, she went home. The Lord knew it, and I'm sure the Lord looked after her. It's not a time for depression. It's a time for exuberance, enthusiasm. It's a time for us to be a channel of blessing. In prayer and supplication. Sometimes it can be a long prayer. Sometimes it can be a repeated prayer because the trouble is still there. Keep praying. Don't give up. Keep praying. Or you say you prayed 10 times and the Lord has not answered, then go and pray 11 times. Let that be a supplication. Plead, Lord, 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 help. Cry unto Him. Let your heart be as close as it can be to your God. The presence of God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That is what we should be. Oh, let not wealth take us away from the presence of God. But if it takes poverty to bring us to a rich relationship with God, then let poverty come and let us not worry, because He will feed us in His presence. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A praying Christian knows this truth, and he will pray even more. Thus he becomes a great blessing. His mind will be filled with the wisdom of God. His mind will be filled with the presence of God. Think of a man's mind that is filled with the presence and the wisdom of God. Who is he? The servant of the Lord. Who is he? He brings the gospel to others. Who is he? He spreads the gospel. Who is he? He is a vessel sanctified unto the Master's use. Our cares must be substituted with prayers. Then we shall be a blessing. We are not called to be a depressed, dejected soul. O soul, why art thou cast down within me? Hope thou in God. Let us pray in hope. You know, dear friends, our prayer is a communication with God. As I just mentioned, we're in passing. We come to the presence of God. Let your request be made known unto God. No point telling everybody about it and crying over it. No point going to a psychiatrist or psychologist and sit before him and tell him all your burden. What can he do? Yesterday, a couple who had much family problems came to see me. And the lady was crying and crying, and she said, Pastor, all the counselors and all these are quite useless. So why do you say that? You know, when I had this problem 2 months ago, I called a counseling center. After listening to all my problems, they said,
sorry, you're calling at the wrong counseling center. I give you another number. Can you call that psychiatrist?" So when this lady called that psychiatrist, they said, "Okay, now what's your problem?" "Hey, I have to tell the problem again to this man. I don't want to talk to him." "Oh, I told the whole story, and within 1 hour I have to tell again everything I said." I said, "Why don't you turn to God? You don't even have to say, just cry. He will know. Even before we ask, our Father in heaven knows it, isn't it?" You know, you are not talking to somebody who cares. You don't talk to God, as a person who has to be informed with everything. Even though your prayer is not a perfect sentence, even though it is not grammatically accurate, even though you chose the wrong word, even though your choice of words are poor in expressing your burden, your God searches with your heart and He knows everything. All that you need to say, "God, help me." You know, when Peter was sinking because he took his eyes away from the Lord and looked at the storm, he didn't have to say, "Lord, now my feet is down in the water. Now my knee is going down. Now the water has come up to the waist. Please come quickly. Reach out. You are 20 meters away from me. Come near." No. All that he had to say is, "Lord, save me." The Lord didn't ask, "Can you measure how much water has now come up?" No. It is simple as this. Trust God. Just pray to Him. If you don't know how to pray, you just say, "Lord, have mercy." That's a powerful prayer. "Lord, have mercy." He knows it all. But if you have any power at all to talk, then talk with Him. You know, there's a hymn that we sing, I must tell Jesus all my trials. Yes, that's a beautiful hymn. Run to Him today. Be with Him this afternoon. Spend the night with Him in prayer. Tell Him everything. If you have an account book, if you are very worried about it, just bring it along. And place it in front of you. Kneel before God and say, "Lord, this is the thing. You know, I don't have to tell you anymore. How can I balance this? Look at this. I'm going to collapse." Have mercy. He knows it all. By the way, if you have no strength to carry the book, never mind, leave it there. Just say, "Lord, help." Be in touch with God. Be with Him all the time. One more thing about your prayer. We must come before God with thanksgiving. Apostle Paul very clearly told us, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Are you not happy that you have a wonderful, caring, loving God to care for you? You know, if my son comes to me and says, "Dad, I have a need. Dad, thank you for helping me all this way. I need another $10. Oh, I will be very glad to give him $10. He thanked me for help that I've given him thus far. And then he comes around and says, "Dad, please help me. I need your help." And I give him $10. He says, "Thank you." You know, dear friends, when you come to God, you must really remember this. Your prayer is not some good thing that you have crafted out in your mind to help God, but rather God's outreaching gracious hand bringing you to Himself. And you better be thankful you can pray. It's a gift for your cure. You must thank God you can pray. And if God's providence would allow those troubles to pray, then thank God that you are in this situation so you will know Him a little closer. You can know His power even more. Last night our church session met together and we were saying we urgently need $70,000 to take care of all the needs right now. Otherwise, it can be very, very difficult. It can be drastic. So I told the elders and deacons, let's pray. Don't look at the paper anymore. It's real. It's true. Just pray. Immediately, we prayed. You know, otherwise the treasurer can say, oh, don't worry, maybe next week 10,000, the following week another 20,000. Maybe we can do this, we can cut there, cut here, and make it just nice that we can go through. Well, who knows whether there will be 10,000 tomorrow? Who knows whether we can really save some money? There are a lot of things we don't know. Especially in our churches, we don't pay our pastors like some mega churches do. So if you cut their salary, some of them will go without bread that day. Especially in our church, we know they live month by month. And that's all we can give. That's why we have 35 people. Otherwise, we cannot have them all together to serve God. And if I'm going to worry about it, I cannot come here today. But leave it all to God. And I'm sure, dear friends, all of us need a thanksgiving spirit when it comes to prayer. Because prayer is God's ordained channel to bless us. So in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we make our request made known to God. Prayer is not just one way, it is two-way traffic. The Lord receives us so that He may send His blessings to us. Every praying Christian must know God will cause his mouth to praise Him. And that's true. And finally, the Lord's greatest comfort to you as you wait for the answers to your prayers, as you wait to ride through this storm that has risen, is the last verse we read, verse 7. What is it, my dear brethren? The peace of God. It's not in your heart yet, it's in God's heart. He will give it to you for that moment. All those who are at peace with God through Jesus Christ, your Savior, can be sure the peace of God will continue to come. It's God's peace. And he says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Look, my dear friends, you are going to experience right now, if you have been praying, a peace that you have never experienced before. So if I have a need of 70,000, let me tell you, I am going to have a peace that is greater than $70,000 to fill my mind. You understand? It's a peace that is greater than that. If my child is sick, if my business is collapsing, if my own health is getting from bad to worse, how can I have peace, you ask? But the Lord says, a peace that passes all understanding. And that is the peace of God. He will give it to us. It's the peace that Jesus himself had while he was on this earth. Remember when he was taken to be crucified? He was taken like a sheep that was taken to slaughter. He was not crying and weeping and kicking people and cursing people. No. When he was reviled, he did not revile back. He prayed, Lord, forgive them. What peace of God in his heart, because he was always in prayer. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember that? And the Lord prepared him in that prayer. When the enemies came to capture him, he yielded himself. But Peter, who didn't pray, became so wise in his own mind, he took the knife and cut off the high priest's servant's ear. You remember that? It was so dangerous. How foolish of Peter. Can he really fight with the Roman soldiers who were there? He was very foolish to take things in his own hand. But the Lord quickly acted. He healed the high priest's servant's ear and rebuked Peter, and he walked the way of the cross with perfect peace, knowing that he is fulfilling God's will in all this. You may have to ride through this storm. You may have difficulty. But look, God will be pleased to bless your heart with a peace that passes all understanding. And this peace, it says in verse 7, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He will see you through. He will keep you. He will never abandon you. Troubles are an opportunity for God's people to know God's protection. God shall never abandon us. He will not forsake us, neither leave us. But by His peace, He shall keep our hearts, protect our hearts through the troubles. And He will bring us to the good end that He has planned for us.